Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, this is Top Stories, the show in which we tell you the top story from a previous episode of the Bugle podcast. I am Andy Zaltzman. In October 2017, Hari Kondabolu and Helen Zaltzman joined me to discuss the reported end of the war on coal and other defunct technologies. This is from issue 4046 of the Bugle, entitled Retronauts and Prairie Skirts. Top story this week, and humanity versus coal, the great war of our times, is over. The head of the American Environmental Protection Agency has declared that the war on coal is over. Scott Pruitt said so in the coal mining states of Kentucky. And at last, we can breathe more difficultly again as the holy, God-given right to pollute the living out of this planet has been preserved by the Trump administration for future generations. Hari, as an American who likes to breathe the most unhealthy air possible, You must be delighted by this.
Well, I find it amazing, Andy. Scott Pruitt, he rejects the consensus of scientists that emissions from burning fossil fuels are the main cause of global warming, but he's consistent. I want to say that he's consistent, because he then claimed gravity was only a theory and had to be restrained by several colleagues after he attempted to prove it by throwing himself from a roof. He's dedicated.
Fair play to the lad. It is kind of odd, because he is a notorious climate skeptic, which, I mean, in this day and age, is basically like being an egg skeptic.
I've never seen one.
Well, exactly. Well, you claim something just drops out of a chicken in a shell and you can cook it and eat it. Pull the other one, loser.
They all scoffed at Galileo, Andy.
They did. Great restaurant. thank you much. It is putting Scott Pruitt in charge of the environment, Hari, seems to me like putting the thrash metal group Anthrax in charge of a neighbourhood noise abatement scheme, or getting Hieronymus Bosch to illustrate a manual about how to run a jam stall at a church fair. It is not ideal and fraught with risk.
Do you think he's just like people who are nostalgic for when cassettes were big,
yeah,
and they claim that cassettes were better than not cassettes? He's just a format retronaut. He's just nostalgic for a different fuel.
A format retronaut?
Yeah.
That's a lovely phrase.
It's like, no, sod vinyl, I'm going to go coal. That's what all the hip world destroyers will be into.
I like the cassette example because it's just like coal, not the best quality.
Exactly.
Not really, it ends up getting thrown away in big bundles and it's there's no value to it.
No, and he's ignoring the fact that there's a lot more money in modern technologies such as renewable energy or MP3s.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of odd, isn't it? It was basically repealing the Clean Power Plan, which was a big plank of Obama's legacy. Because I guess, you know, the last thing America wants is to be a global leader in, unquestionably, one of the biggest industries of the future. I mean, that is what people voted Trump to do, was to avoid them maintaining any position as some kind of global figurehead.
Yes, and also, I feel like I'm taking whatever you're saying and just ignoring it and then telling a joke.
Oh, right. I'm used to that.
That's, okay.
That's largely how my life works.
It's largely what you do.
Zing! Oh, that's been building up for 37 years, Helen.
I mean, it's completely impractical because coal becomes less useful as the climate gets hotter because there's less of a need for creating heat artificially and because we'll all be dead.
Well, I mean, it's good to have something to look forward to, isn't it?
and it's so shiny and sparkly.
Essentially, this is America basically resigning from the 21st century.
That is correct.
As a nation, right.
And even China has got behind renewables and given up on coal.
Yeah, but that's largely because it was choking all of its people to death.
Maybe that's the future America wants.
Yeah.
Maybe it wants everybody to have a cough like I've got.
All right, so you're a poster girl for the Trump administration's environmental.
I've got a little coal fire burning in my throat at all times.
Keep in mind, there is going to be growth in the emphysema industry. Nobody thinks about the emphysema industry.
Well, exactly. There's a lot of things that will benefit from this.
Yeah.
You know, businesses that clean up after environmental disasters.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a growth industry.
Yeah.
It'll save on pensions, because more and more Americans will be splashing themselves to death at an early age.
That's correct.
It's nice. He wants to create more jobs again in Kentucky. Jobs that are really unpleasant because you're underground in a coal mine most of the time and usually lead to your premature death.
What do you mean, Helen? The coal industry, notoriously through its history, has treated its workers like precious jewels, overpaid them wildly and given them only the very best, most comfortable working conditions. I'll not have a word said against my beloved coal industry. Besides, which would you rather die of, respiratory illness soon or full-blown dementia later on? Text us your views.
At what point does paleontology become coal mining?
I don't know. I guess it's when you put it in some kind of burner rather than a museum exhibit.
Right. So everyone's pro-fossils but fussy about fossil fuels.
Yeah, it's hypocrisy of the worst kind.
I don't understand how the coal industry has been able to like push their pro-coal agenda when we've been taught from a young age that coal is bad. Santa Claus gives naughty kids coal. Right there, we're programmed in thinking it's bad. Santa Claus isn't giving naughty kids solar panels.
That's a good point.
Mm.
But he's only giving them one lump of coal, so it's not even enough to fuel anything.
No.
So really, he's giving them a symbol of coal.
Yeah,
it's like making them wistful because they haven't even got enough of a shit thing.
Right, but it's enough to be like, this is the symbol of bad things. It is coal. There's nothing you can do with this coal. It is evil and wrong.
Yeah, do you remember when Nazism used to be considered a bad thing? And that's had a remarkable turnaround recently.
That's you know, with fashion, everything comes back around.
Exactly, like prairie skirts and the swastika.
It's a prairie skirt.
It's just very flouncy, Andy.
Right.
Every 3 years they come back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just hang on to the one you've got.
Thank you, I will do. I'm all about the prairie skirts. When it comes to the Trump administration's attitude towards climate change science, I mean, I guess there's an element of wishful thinking involved. And I guess, as the old saying goes, if you believe in something strongly enough, you can make it happen. Do you know who said that? Marilyn Manson, in a 1997 interview about the album Antichrist Superstar, which, coincidentally, is Donald Trump's current Facebook status. In other environmental news, walruses are set to die. Due to Donald Trump. I mean, I know we have been accused on the show of taking an anti-Trump agenda, but according to this article, the Trump administration has refused to list the Pacific walrus as endangered after deciding that the big, tusky, whisker-faced, lard-bellied, ice-bothering, fish-guzzling bastard may be able to adapt to the loss of sea ice that they currently depend on.
Oh, you know, like dinosaurs adapted to being hit by asteroids.
Yeah, they were very good at it, actually. And we've still got crocodiles, haven't we?
Yeah. The African black rhino adapted to being hunted to extinction.
Yeah.
They can do it if they put their minds to it.
If Kevin Costner can make it in Waterworld, Willy the Walrus can make it in reality.
If a shockingly unqualified man can be president of the United States, walruses can put the work in and survive without their habitats. And look how well foxes have evolved into living on the streets of London.
Yeah. So you're basically saying that what we want is feral walruses in London.
I'd consider
going from bin to bin.
Yeah, eating chicken carcasses.
Right.
Living it up.
I mean, I think I'd prefer that to the fox, to be honest. Have you ever had your bins rifled through by a walrus, Harry?
That's a euphemism.
Then yes. I mean, the background story about, you know, because Trump is doing this because he, you know, takes revenge on all his enemies. And as we remember, in 1987... This has famously happened in Florida at a SeaWorld. A walrus splashed Mr. Trump,
right,
destroying his hair. His hair looked great, actually, the best it's ever looked. But they said it destroyed his hair, waited 30 years, finally found his revenge.
God, there's so many little bitter vendettas, aren't there?
Best served cold. But not as cold as it would have been 30 years ago.
What I don't understand is that the Obama administration actually could have put these walruses on the endangered species list, but they said that there were other animals that were a bigger priority.
Right.
So is the endangered like species list, is it limited? Is there only a limited number of people that can be added? Limited number of animals that could be added at any particular time?
We only have it in our power to give a shit about a limited number of animals at a time.
Right. At a time.
Also, walruses eat seals and can kill polar bears. So maybe they prioritise those first because walruses don't have the predator of other walruses.
Right.
Actually, they do because they can trample each other to death. So, yeah, really? It was a bad decision.
How much research did you do into that? Did you make walruses trample each other in your room upstairs in my house?
Just wanted to see. They found it really difficult to get up the stairs.
The thing is, when people criticise Trump for, you know, hypocrisy or, you know, not really meaning what he says, but I think he would quite happily slay a walrus with a chainsaw in one of his weekly YouTube postings just to make a point. Not, I mean, what point? It doesn't really matter, as long as a point is being made by him and there is a dead walrus on the floor at the end of it. The Fish and Wildlife Service, which I know is your favourite branch of American government.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Said that walruses are unlikely to be considered endangered in the foreseeable future, which apparently is defined as from now until the year 2060. Now, to me, that is a wildly optimistic end date for the foreseeable future, 43 years ago, because... 43 years ago, 43 years away, because, well, in the time between me beginning to read this sentence and me reaching the bit where I say wasp-infested pumpkin for the second time, Donald Trump may well have stuck his diplomatic penis back into the wasp-infested pumpkin that is North Korea just to see what happens. Did that sentence actually end?
They never end.
Oh, no, it did. It did end. Frankly, the foreseeable future these days stretches at best 4 weeks into the future, coincidentally, when I'll be finishing my US tour. Full dates at andysaltzman.co.uk. In fact, I'm beginning to think that the foreseeable future might already have ended, and because of the way the news works, even the past isn't even retrospectively foreseeable anymore either. I mean, what is truth? That's what this war story says to me.
Are we even recording a podcast right now?
Do you even need us here, Andy?
Not really.
You seem to have just, like, sunk into a strange soliloquy.
Well, that was the top story from October 2017. Now, if you want to make sure that future generations can hear current and past top stories for the rest of all eternity, do help keep the Bugle free, flourishing and independent by joining our Bugle voluntary subscription scheme. To give a one-off or recurring contribution, go to thebuglepodcast.com and click the donate button.
Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.